So we got home, not anything in particular, but I'll just tell you, we got home Friday night, Saturday morning. It was like I woke up in a wrestling match, just wrestling with things, little things, big things, things that shouldn't matter, things that do matter, things that just wrestling. And this morning I woke up and I was still wrestling. And so Pastor Jason went to load up the kids in the vehicle. I was grabbing the diaper bag. I stood there in my house and I said, yep, okay, baby. I'm headed to the house of God and I am going to give you a black eye this morning. So if you will help me give the devil a black eye, you'll walk out here with two of them instead of just one. Exodus chapter 15, beginning in verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the Lord, the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will adhere to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, that's a lot of ifs. If you will, if you will, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord. Healeth thee. Job chapter 13, beginning in verse 15. Job is speaking and he says, hold your peace. Let me alone that I may speak. And let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh and my teeth and put my life in my hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation. For a hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. I'm going to preach to you this morning. Thou God, slay me. Would you help me pray? Father, once again we come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. The name that is above every battle that we fight, the name that is above every distraction that we try to implement its force in this house this morning. Lord, I lift up your name above everything that will try to exalt itself. And I ask you, Lord, to let this people hear what the Spirit would say this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thou God, slay me. If that is one thing that we are well acquainted with in the reading and the studying of the scriptures, it is the way that the Israelites always were complaining. They were murmuring against God. They were complaining and murmuring against the leadership that God had placed over them. Even when incredible, miraculous events were taking place just before them or behind them, all the way around them, for some reason those people are still found murmuring and complaining. I know that there is something inside of me when I read about those Israelites, that there is a desire in me that does not want to be like the Israelites who were found complaining in the face of the provision that God had made for them. The bitter waters of Marah, they were only 3 days removed from God gloriously parting the Red Sea, 3 days into their journey, of God splitting a sea in front of them, and then walking on dry ground, fires just drowned behind them. 3 days after God has blown his mind, blown out of their minds of his might and his power, 4 days after Miriam was out there on the shore with her tambourine, singing songs of deliverance, and all of the women were out there dancing. God is like the Lord. The Lord is glorious. The Lord is mighty. Singing the high praises of God. 3 days after God has proven to them that he will miraculously take care of them, they encounter bitter water. 3 days in, 2 days after the biggest miracle we had ever seen. 2 days after that, the testifying on the shore of the Red Sea of God's goodness to them, a promise appears that plans never need to begin to happen. We've all made the same than we had before. If I go out and I testify about what God has done in my life, something bad will sure not happen to me then. You don't even want to admit that you've done that, you've thought that, you've said that, even with your own mouth. If I get up and I said what God has done, Pastor Gordon even alluded to it this morning, you have made an overcomer by the word of your testimony. What you say out of your mouth. And enough times, that is exactly the case. That is what happens. We testify of the goodness of God and the power of God at work in our lives. And as soon as we do, the very thing that we testified about comes under the assault of the enemy. Why? Because the devil wants to hear the people of God, the glory of God. That's an actor from the very beginning that is so after him now to keep you from giving glory to God. The hopes to hear and follow the need, the glory, the wisdom of God. They are not to hear. They are not to hear. But God allows them to go to church in the corner of the room and have the glory. Yes, when the people of God stop saying, you're not asking, you're not starving. God's ready. Something to put their business, and wrap it up and down. Sitting on this pew could not see the hope available. How many have walked in and walked out and still all they can see is the bitter water in their lives? How many have even been here and they've walked through the miraculous proving of God to them in their lives? They walked through it, God proved himself to you back then. You remember, you testified about it, you walked through it. Impossible circumstances for you, and caused your enemies to fall. Yet when it came to another experience of having to stand and trust God 3 days later, and the bitter water came, they suddenly felt like God wouldn't be able to provide them with anything to drink, and they walked out the door. A lot of times we've allowed the world out there to have a greater sway over us than the preaching of the word and the testimony of God's faithfulness. In our life, we are moved by the advertisements that we see. We go by the clothes, we go by the shoes, we eat what they show us. We eat the meal, we see the movie, we go to the vacation spot, we spend what we don't have. Why? Because the world puts some fear in us and moved us to that point of action. When the standard of God's word is held up in front of us week after week after week, trust to be moved to action and faithfully wait on God. We aren't moved enough by hearing the word of God preached to us when the preacher gets up and says, I came to give the devil a black eye, and the word of God is not going to return the glory. We aren't moved enough to really believe that we are going to turn bitter water into sweet water from the earth. I can drink and never go away. I can drink from the water again. Consider what you do here around you all of the time, and it will amaze you what you do not hear. You do hear the world's accusations against God. You do hear, it doesn't look like it's going to change. You do hear, I am so down. I'm discouraged. I'm overwhelmed by the bitter water. It's all I see. I don't know how to. I don't see why. But I don't see why. What happens in you when someone comes along and you pretend to hear things like this? I was standing up to bitter water one time, and this is how God worked it out for me. I was standing there at the face of something that I could not understand, and this is a bad thing for me. What we do hear a lot of times is, I have wrestled with the devil all weekend. Just pray for me, I'm down. Y'all just, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I hope I go to heaven. I'm not sure. The devil's just been fighting me, standing up to be in water. And I'm pretty sure it's the preacher's fault. Saying to us, I'm encouraging us, not you, us, to remember God's faithfulness. Job said, I will be maintaining my own ways before God. And if I do, He will be my salvation. This was coming from a man who had lost everything, lost all of his children. Lost all his possessions, lost everything that he thought he had that was making him prosper and flourish. The Bible tells me that sometimes I'm going to have to speak to myself. And I'm going to have to do it in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what the Bible says. I'm not saying that it's the easiest thing in the world to walk up to the bitter waters of life. Your freedom's out from God's throne. Your freedom's out from that same love experience with God. And by Wednesday, you feel like you've been defeated. I'm not saying it's the easiest thing in the world to walk to the bitter waters of life and immediately start looking at all of the wonderful ways that God is going to come through. We don't usually do that. We usually look at the bitter water. It's true that the Israelites were 3 days into the wilderness. It's true that they were very thirsty. 3 days without good drinking water would make you pretty thirsty. And it's true that the only thing that they saw available was bitter. But when you read that account, it's also true. This is the part that I just made peace myself happy on. It's also true that there was a tree there. The Bible says that when they got to the bitter water, what God told Moses to do was to get the tree and throw it into the water. Now, I don't know when God put that tree there. I don't know if it put it there the day before they got there or if it had been there for thousands of years. I don't know when that tree got there. All I know is that it was there in the place of bitter water. And the river was being sent at first, but it was there. I don't know when your answer will come, but I know that it is there. I don't know when your enemy is coming, but I know that it's on the time because the tree is there. The tree is there. That tree is the cross. I don't know when that promised spouse is going to come, but I know. know that the victory for you to be able to work it out in the way that you guarantee is already there. If you let God help you work it, perspective makes all of the difference. We can look at someone else's situation and see just exactly who, what, where, and how they need to change. Somebody else walk through the sickness. Okay. Wish they'd just be encouraged. You watch somebody else walk through the hard days and say, hey, they're just not doing it the way I would do. You have your opportunity to show. You are the chance to show everybody how to do it. Easy for us to fix other people's lack of faith. Fix other people's lack of faithfulness with our opinions. Fix the way that they responded to something. And not so easy to see a change needed in our own heart. Our own situation. The right to fix. We don't like to examine. I went to prayer over this and I heard myself praying these words. Lord, it hasn't been fun to walk through certain areas that I've walked through. And this is what came out of my mouth, I swear. I said, it hasn't been fun, but it's been good for me. And when those words sincerely came out of my spirit, across my lips, there was an instant surrender that I felt happen inside of me that I didn't need to know needed to happen. I didn't know needed to happen. You know that God can direct us into certain areas of our lives, and we can even obediently go that direction, and we can still be holding on to our own will. While you're walking obediently toward the direction that God has given you, and still holding on to your will. Doing your best to follow his leading. You'll only be able to see it playing out a certain way. Doing your best to be obedient, only able to process it in your mind the bitter place that has come to you. Doing what God said, but keeping a guard up surrounding where you're at, and you can do that until you begin to feel like what once was a blessing. In knowing the plan of God has now become a situation of life that has happened to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can obediently follow God. And what once felt like a blessing and stepping out and following and going through the parting of the Red Sea now has come to a place where you feel like it's just a situation of life and difficulty that has happened to you to bring you to this problem. That's what happened to the Israelites. They were obedient. They put the blood on the doorpost. They ate with their shoes on. They were ready to go. They left their homes, their family place, their established place. They went obedient. They went all of the way to the banks of the water. They crossed over on dry ground. Suddenly, following the direction of God and the bitter water, was waiting for them. And then their murmuring and their complaining became something that happened to them instead of something that God had done for them. You would take 3 days outside of a mind-blowing, miraculous event that the Israelites would have been able to testify to their own selves enough to increase their own faith to where they could, they knew that God was going to take them through this thing as well. You would think they would be able to say to themselves, you know, my feet were dry walking across that riverbank. Surely there's an opportunity there in this bitter water for God to show out and show us who he is. You would think that someone could have begun to testify what God had done just 3 days earlier and remind them that God wasn't about to forsake them. Don't be too hard on them. Because we have the same tendency. I know God is good. I know He parted the water. But why is this? Why am I at this place? How am I supposed to face this thing I've come to? What am I supposed to drink? How can I make it past this difficult place? I'll tell you how. Refocus what you're looking at. You'll see a tree. A tree in the form of a cross. It's not possible for any natural tree to, on its own, be cast into bitter water. It's not a property of any natural tree. You cast it into bitter water, and it has the capability of immediately cleansing that water, and people can drink freely and not be poisoned. It wasn't about the power of a tree to make the water pure to drink. That tree was a shadow. It was a sign at the cross, showing you that you can take where you're at and purify it and cleanse it and let you go forward. After you've experienced God delivering you and you've been blessed and you're prosperous and you've walked through the miraculous times of life, be still God when those incredible things are behind you and the hard things are in front of you. Though God slayed me, though it looks like this thing could kill me, though it feels like I'm dying in this situation, though it seems like I'm left alone here to just deal with it, I will lift my eyes to where my help comes from. I will look to the cross of Christ. Every victory was already won at the tree. Every battle was already overcome at the tree. You hear me today, devil, I'm telling you. God showed Moses a tree, and today he's showing most of us on a tree. Lift your eyes to the cross when the work comes from. I know the rest of all day yesterday, my friend, but now you're going to testify of the goodness of God. I've seen them take the rough tree. I've seen them come forth from me with a rough tree. There isn't going to change. I've seen them change the many sets of people who may have been behind my back, talked about me, didn't like me. I didn't stand up for myself, but God defeated me with a fight every day. I've watched God all that day when I couldn't lift my eyes, couldn't walk, couldn't move. I watched God deliver me from that thing. I'm telling you through. So today I testify, the whole world turned again. The whole world delivered me again. The whole world defeats me again. And even if I have to wrestle tomorrow, I got my fist over the moon. And I'm going to give him another blanket. God showed Moses a tree. He could have just as easily said, Moses, reach down and get a handful of dirt, throw it in the water. God could have just as easily performed a miracle with a handful of dirt, a handful of grass. But he didn't. He showed him a tree. Giving you a picture of the cross's ability to turn your bitterness into sweet water. If you'll lift your eyes, God can show you the tree. But the question would you come? I cannot explain to you the levels of a word called change that has happened in my and my husband's life over the past 5 years. And I know we stand back and we look at each other and we evaluate how to handle change. Change is not a small word. Change is a big word. And if I started trying to describe to you all of the changes that we have walked through just in 5 years with God, it would feel like we were settled there at home. And then overnight, he parted the Red Sea and we walked through. And then 3 days later, we came to another change. And 2 days later, there was a different one. Major changes, not little things. Major life changes. Losing those rocks in our life. Losing those people that we loved and relied on. Those people who could look at you and say, hey, you're moving. people who could say, "You need to let your faith rise." Those people were on the glory. And we still had to keep walking through the changes. More change. More change. And here we are with you today, navigating another change. We're here. Our life changed. To come here, God did it. But I want to testify to you that no matter what the change brought with it, I can testify to you. God knows how to navigate you through change.